And I think right now on the phone we have Democrat Pat Strong, who's running for state senate in District 46, is it?
Yes, it is, Tom. Good morning.
Good morning. And is it Pat Strong or Patrice? I've seen it both ways, I guess.
Oh, Pat Strong is fine.
And you just announced like two or three weeks ago, is that right?
I think it was March 16th.
March 16th. I'm sure you know when it was. and there was another Democrat running first, and he dropped out?
My friend Jeff Collins, yes. Jeff was the first announced candidate, and we huddled, and he decided to support me. So now he's a great advisor to the campaign.
And what was involved in your decision to run for office?
Well, I have been a volunteer in over a dozen campaigns, Tom, over the years. I've always loved being, a volunteer. But I don't think I'm unique. Many, many people are coming off the sidelines this year. And so as I looked at the field, I thought it was a great time to run. There's so many issues I want to talk about and hear about from voters. So I jumped in.
Yeah, I think there's a story this week that there's a record number of women running for Congress. You didn't want to. All the other candidates who are running for Congress don't have previous electoral experience. They just jumped into the congressional level. You wanted to start with the state senate.
Well, I've volunteered in congressional races, and I find it very fascinating. But honestly, the state houses are really important, Tom. Right. So what we've seen over the last 10 years is that more and more state legislatures have become partisan sort of strangleholds, and it has resulted in the kind of gerrymandered districts that we see now around our state and around the nation.
And I guess that leads me to what happened the other day with the IDC in the state Senate. Someone who's very cynical might say that was a move by Cuomo to quash turnout in the special elections in a couple of weeks that might have or might still flip the Senate into Democratic hands, even though it's currently in Democratic hands by the numbers. But a number of senators caucus with the Republicans, and they said this week that they're going to caucus with the Democrats, but they're still pretty conservative votes that they really won't probably get too many Democratic measures through. Or I don't know. What is your whole take on that situation this week?
Well, I think it just has to be taken at face value, right? I mean, we all hope for a unification of the Democrats, but I don't think we saw anything terribly convincing this week. I would love to be proved wrong. I would love to see Andrea Stewart Cousins become the leader of the Democratic conference and have the IDC leader as her deputy, or as someone who can work with her. So we're optimistic, but we've seen this movie before.
So we'll see what happens. You were saying before that you have been volunteering on many campaigns, and you're in Ulster County.
I am. I'm in Kingston, and previous to that, I lived in Woodstock.
And so what campaigns or what issues have you worked on before?
Oh, gosh, so many of them. I wish I had kept my pay stub from the Jimmy Carter campaign. Don't laugh, Tom.
I was a teenager and licked envelopes for Mondale in 84.
There you go. There you go. I was an early supporter of Maurice Hinchey. Our children went to school together, so I think the first fundraiser for Mo Hinchey was in my backyard in Ruby, New York. I have worked to elect family court judges in Ulster County. I have worked on various congressional campaigns, and we have a wonderful mayor in Kingston, Steve Noble, and I certainly was in his corner.
And what are the particular issues that you're most concerned about in running this time for the state Senate?
Right. Well, I'm a small business owner and a mom, and I think that what troubles me on a daily basis is also what concerns an awful lot of New Yorkers. We have to keep taxes down. I was campaigning a few weeks ago for Aidan O'Connor in the Village of Catskill, and I was just struck by the reminder of how many single-family homes are owned by elderly people, you know, trying desperately to hang on to their homes. And with property taxes the way they are, it's a constant struggle for them. So that would be first and foremost something that I'm concerned about as a small business owner, but also as someone who understands the struggle of our elderly. I think we can finally talk about really moving the needle on health care. I think it's time to talk about Medicare for All and the New York Health Act. I'm very excited and optimistic about a blue wave pushing that forward in next year. I think, you know, we have to fully finance our schools. That's one of those things that people say, but the New York State Senate is really dominated now by charter school interests. That's one of the principal interests that exerts a lot of influence there. And, you know, charters may be okay for some parts of our state, but it's not relevant here, certainly not yet. So I'm you know, totally focused on full funding for public schools. And then I think we have to talk about school safety and public safety, safety in our public spaces. Like many people, I'm just so humbled to watch the high school students and the college students that are coming forward now to lead us. We just had a forum the other night in Kingston where 80% of the speakers were high school students, and the issue was a memorializing resolution on gun safety. So those are the issues I'm talking about this year and that people are speaking to me about with great interest.
Do you think that New York should pass some more gun laws? It seems like New York has a lot of gun laws that many other states don't ban bump stocks and ban other things. But
yep, they sure do. So I think, you know, it's not about gun control or violating anyone's Second Amendment rights. I think a good analogy is the way we brought down the casualty and the death rates for automobiles, right? It wasn't just seatbelts. It was a constellation of small measures that came together to really make the difference. It was airbags. It was putting those wavy lines on the road so that when you're drifting, God forbid, you know, you wake up, plus seatbelts. So the day I was invited to Albany to learn a little bit more about running for the state Senate was February 27th, and that was the day that the Democrats introduced or tried to introduce a gun safety package, which included universal background checks and a mental health registry and orders of protection that would be enhanced because family members could call to attention a situation of distress that someone was in temporarily. And certainly, you know, prohibiting convicted domestic violence abusers from having guns. I don't think these things are draconian in any way. I think they just add up to common sense measures. And in fact, in the final days of the budget process, a Republican senator who is a woman introduced that bill to restrict guns from convicted domestic offenders, and it passed with the Republican leader of the legislature, of the senators voting for it, along with a lot of Republicans. But our state senator voted against it, and so I think, you know, there are there's still a very robust debate about what we can get done on gun safety. But there's a lot of common sense things that we can do in the meantime.
And your opponent eventual opponent, I guess, will be George Amador. He voted against the Child Victims Act last week too.
Well, yes, it couldn't. It wasn't included.
It wasn't included. No. But I think he expressed that he was against it, right?
Absolutely, he did.
Is that something you're for, or you have the same opinion?
I support the Child Victims Act. I think that 1 year look back window that was the heart of the disagreement is reasonable, and I think it should be brought to the floor again.
And it's the Catholic Church that's pretty much sort of blocking that in Albany?
The Catholic Church is the main organization, but there are others as well that are very concerned about their liability. So I think when you counterpose liability with putting people's lives back together, it's pretty easy to make the right choice.
And the budget bill just passed in Albany this past week. What did you think of that?
Well, I think that, you know, these are kind of staggering numbers, right? What was it, $168 billion, which for most of us living our ordinary lives is hard to even wrap your mind around. But, you know, it did fund a lot of priorities, but many progressive ideas that were supposed to be in there and should have been in there were left on the cutting room floor.
Yeah, I think for the 15th, 20th, 30th year in a row, there was no ethics reform, even though
right.
both the leaders, Democrat and Republican, of both chambers in the past few years have been convicted of corruption, and the governor's aide has been convicted of corruption this year. Do you have ethics reform proposals that you like?
Wow, I sure do. Yeah, closing that LLC loophole would be the top of the list for me. We currently have a situation now where some forms of businesses, the LLC corporations, can give unlimited funds to a campaign anonymously, and that's just untenable, you know, for the best results in Albany. We have to know who the donors are, and there has to be some kind of rational limits.
What any other parts of the budget bill that you think should be highlighted as good or highlighted as bad?
Well, I mean, I think they decided to keep the 2% tax cap in place, which is, you know, very challenging for local governments. My work now puts me in contact with local governments on a daily basis because I help them with energy efficiency and environmental issues. And I hear from local governments about how difficult it is to stay within that tax cap. But, you know, it's helping people keep their homes. So I certainly applaud that difficult choice that they've made in the last, I think, 8 years.
And I guess Aidan Conner probably has a more difficult run in some ways because he can't make the argument that he electing another Democrat in the Assembly is going to change things that much. But electing another Democrat in the Senate would really impact things more. And the incumbent George Amador we talked about a moment ago is a Republican. So if you won, it would change the balance of power in the Senate more than in an Assembly race.
Absolutely. But you know, Aidan is a fresh new voice with a tremendous background. You know, that addition of someone who's concerned with medical issues, emergency treatment issues, and I think, you know, very importantly, he's been very focused on talking about improving broadband and internet coverage in the rural, you know, areas that he will serve. And I think that's a big issue. It's a big public safety issue. So I think he'll be a tremendous voice in the Assembly when he wins.
Yeah, I didn't mean to pick on him. I was just trying to use that as an example to show that the Senate is the Senate elections seem like they're more important. Whether you're a Republican and want it to stay that way, or you want you're a Democrat and you want it to change into more Democratic hands, so your race seems like it has is weighted with a little more import.
It is, and it's a bit of a conundrum, you know, because in many parts of the 46th Senate District, the incumbent is not well known. His office is right on the street that my office is here in Kingston. And I continually meet people who don't know who their senator is. So on the one hand, it's very important if you follow state politics and if you're interested in advancing, you know, progressive legislation. On the other hand, a lot of folks, because of the way the districts are drawn, very large and very disparate types of localities being grouped together, a lot of people are not even aware of what's at stake.
And he was an assembly member from a northern part of the district that overlaps a little bit. It's more northern and not so. He's probably much more well-known in Schoharie County, and you're much more known in Ulster County. I guess it's going to be a sort of a north-south battle there.
Yeah, he's from Schenectady County. He's in Rotterdam, and so that's a base for him. And then we have Montgomery County, all of it. We have all of Greene County. We have partial Ulster and partial Albany and partial Schenectady.
And his family company, Amador Homes, has a large development project that's proposed in Ghent. Do you have any opinion on that?
Well, you know, I haven't looked into the specifics of the Ghent project, but one thing I'm struck by is that that particular company is really focused on selling homes to upper-income New Yorkers. And while we need all kinds of people funding our government, you know, I think the concerns that I have are about providing affordable housing to all kinds of New Yorkers. And actually, there was a really interesting HUD study that came out a couple of weeks ago, right? You may have read about it, that said that in Greene County, it is actually cheaper in the long run to own rather than rent, because rents have ticked up so far. But still, we have renters paying, you know, $1,200 a month on average. And that is a heavy lift for someone who's making, you know, $40,000 or $50,000 a year, or on Social Security making a lot less.
And the Senate district has most often, in recent years, I guess, been held by a Republican, Celia Kacik. I always mispronounce her last name. Won, I think, in 2012.
She did, yeah. It was a hair-raising race. She won by 17 votes.
Right, and then lost the rebattle to Mr. Amador last time around. So how can you win in a district that is fairly conservative?
Right. Well, I love Cece Kacik. She's been very friendly to me. I certainly knew her when she was a candidate. But she is from a different part of the district. So, you know, from Ulster County, we have a tradition of strong progressive values here. We have a lot of energized voters. So I'm coming in with a very strong base. I've had the privilege of being an outreach educator to homeowners, businesses, institutions, and now local governments for 15 years on environmental and energy issues. So I'm well known. I bring a positive message. So that's my base. And then I do a lot of work for the state government. So I'm up in Albany, and I have you know, plenty of contacts there. So I think I'm bringing together a group of excited, energized voters all over the district. Montgomery County would be the county where I need to make new friends. And I'm headed that way tonight, and I'll be there over the weekend and actually into next week as well.
And I guess to win, you're going to have to register a lot more Democrats. Can you tell already? Are there Democrats? I mean, this is supposed to be a blue wave election year, and we've seen some special elections around the country where Democrats have done well. I just saw the poll numbers in Tennessee where the Democrat is polling remarkably well against the incumbent Republican senator. Can you have anecdotal or real evidence that there are more Democrats or more people in general registering this time around?
Right. Well, I think it's a little early to know. The Republicans actually have a slim lead over Dems overall in the county right now. But don't forget, Tom, the really important force to be reckoned with are those who choose no party. And I think in the 46th Senate District, that's some 50,000 people. So those are people I welcome to checking out, you know, who I am and what I stand for. I think that there are valid reasons in today's electoral climate to say that you want to be independent of a party. And so that's fine. I'm going to be making a special effort to urge those voters as well to look at my candidacy.
And I usually ask this question to candidates who've been in the race a little longer, but as you've gone out and talked to people, what have you been most surprised about that they're concerned about?
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know if it's surprised, but just as we have some incredible number of people running for Congress in the 19th Congressional District, I think at last count it was 8, we have many, many people who are just beside themselves at the direction our country is going in, and they want to help. They don't want to just sit back and watch it all unfold. So if anything, I have been surprised. by the amount of engagement and the level of activism that is there. People are going to express it in different ways. Not everyone, you know, can drop what they're doing and run for office. But I think we're going to see, just as with the high school students, you know, taking time out of their typically teen busy schedules to come out to a city council meeting the other night and sit patiently until they had a chance to talk. I think we're going to see a lot of people show up this year who are not your traditional turnout voters in a non-presidential year.
Are people going to be tired of voting with all these elections this year? We've got a June congressional primary. We've got a September federal and state primary, and then the November election finally.
Yeah, well, as Aidan O'Connor says, boy, if you like voting, this is your year.
Right, I left out the April special election in a couple of weeks, yeah.
Yeah, that's right, that's right. I don't know, I think it's great. I mean, this is, you know, this is civics 101, right? We're being asked at every turn, make a choice, make a decision, weigh in. You know, what's bad about that? I'll tell you what I was heartbroken about, though, is that early voting went nowhere. Registration online, a lot of the voting reforms that, you know, the governor talked about in the state of the state went absolutely nowhere. And that would have helped a great deal.
Have you picked a candidate in the congressional race or in the governor's primary?
Well, let's see. So this is April of 2018. I think I met Antonio Delgado in January or something of 2017. We have you know, friends and family members that have introduced us to one another. So I've watched Antonio evolve over the last year, almost year and a half, as a very strong contender. But the region where we live is not populous, and a lot of us know each other. So I think Antonio is a strong candidate, but there's wonderful candidates running from Kingston, where I live. There must be four congressional campaign offices within walking distance of my office, and I'm friendly with all of them. I think that they're all putting forth an amazing effort in a difficult environment. But that's where I see the race.
And I just saw this morning Gareth Rhodes says he's not going to run ads on the Sinclair Broadcast Group stations in Albany, the CBS Channel 6 and the CW station. Have you thought about, are you going to have ads, or and if so, are you going to run them there?
Yeah, if I'm fortunate enough to raise the funds so that I could mount a TV effort, I would certainly stay away from Sinclair. I watched the investigative reporting. I don't even think they had to dig too deep to show the coordinated campaign going on around the nation with this kind of editorial messaging about the threat to our democracy that's underway. And I think it's just unconscionable. I'm a former newspaper reporter and editor, and if someone had tried to put words in my mouth like that, I would have resisted with every fiber of my being.
And I guess fundraising is going to be the everyone says that's the hardest part of this. Is that, have you started fundraising yet?
I certainly have. I have a real grassroots base because I have been the president of the Business Alliance of Kingston for many years. I just handed that off. I run a very popular arts event here that draws many people out. So I'm looking to my grassroots base first and foremost. To my lucky or unlucky friends and relatives who will be getting lots of calls from me over and over again. So I'm looking to that grassroots group of people who I have always worked with to get me launched. And, that's where things are today. But I do expect that my message will resonate with some of the larger institutional organizations like labor unions that want to see good progressive ideas in Albany.
And we're talking to Pat Strong, who's running for the State Senate in District 46. You want to tell us your website?
Absolutely. It's votepatstrong.com, and that's also my Twitter handle and my Facebook handle, VotePatStrong.
Have you thought about, if you get elected, what committees you'd like to be on?
Oh, absolutely. Thank you for asking me that. There is a small business committee. I'd like to be on that. And I'd like to be on anything to do with energy and the environment. Indeed, for those of us here in the Catskills and the Hudson Valley, protection of the environment is such an integral part of everything we do. It drives our economic development. It's part of tourism. And so if I were so fortunate to be elected, I would drive towards those committees.
All right. Any other issues that we didn't mention that you want to mention before we go?
Wow. I think, I think we covered a lot of them. Yeah, absolutely. I think we're in good shape. I'm just looking forward to getting to know more people. And so what I ask everyone who hears me or that I get a chance to shake hands with is, if you know of an event that you think I should be at, by all means, just reach out to me and I'll do my darndest to get there because I'm just trying to expand the circle and meet more and more people all the time.
And I guess you said you were going to Montgomery County this weekend. Are you going to be in Greene County anytime soon? You want to mention or Columbia County anytime soon?
Absolutely. No, I'm going to Oak Hill on Sunday for a 10 a.m. get together with Aidan O'Connor and some of the folks who want to see him get elected. I'll be at the DeWitt Oak Hill on Sunday morning at 10 a.m.
The DeWitt? I don't know what that is.
Well, I believe it looks like, from the invitation, it looks like a... maybe a bed and breakfast or something like that, but it's an event for Aidan O'Connor.
Well, Oak Hill's not very large, so you, I'm sure you can find it down
exactly.
In downtown Maine, Oak Hill.
I'll just holler in the middle of the main street.
All right, yeah. That's Sunday morning, and you could find that event listed on your website?
It's actually listed on Aidan O'Connor's website.
On Aidan O'Connor's website, okay.
Yeah.
All right, anything else you want to mention before we go?
No, Tom, thank you so much for having me. I'd love to come back another time.
All right, great. Thank you, and good luck with the campaign. Pat Strong, who's running for as a Democrat in the State Senate District 46 election that will be in November.
Terrific. Thank you.
All right.
Have a great weekend.
Thanks. You too.